show off.
Yeah, I don't want to show off. Alright, I need to turn that button on. There we go.
Alright. Oh my goodness. And Brother Long.
Now you know.
Now I know. Take your Bibles quickly and go to Hebrews chapter 3 is where we're going to launch. I told the class downstairs that I didn't really want to give them a bunch of definitions, but I gave them some definitions of a word that just has intrigued me through the years. And I'll only be a brief time. I don't exactly know, but Hebrews chapter 3, I want to show you something that, let's just read it. Hebrews chapter 3. Y'all got Hebrews chapter 3, go to verse 1. We'll start right there. The Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, I pray you bless us and help us. Lord, as we look at your word and we look at this simple thought that you've given us to consider, God, I pray that you'll bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, I've heard the word and I've heard the expression, "Hey, you need to consider this. Hey, you need to look at this. Hey, you need to consider that over there. Hey, you need to look over there and consider what they're doing over there." And as I got to read my Bible, and through the years that I read my Bible, there are several things that I want to draw your attention to, but there are several things that caught my eye. And for lack of a better, no great illustration, the word "consider" just kind of jumped off the page at me one day. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, when God says, "Wherefore, holy brethren," now he's talking to us, I would say, "Wherefore, holy brethren," I think there's a word there that you ought to, there's some things that thoughts you ought to catch when he says holy. I believe when he says holy brethren, he's talking about you and I, but he's qualifying that by saying I think there's an expectation that he wants us as his children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as part of the family of God, he wants us to be holy. I believe we ought to be holy. And I believe he's speaking here, and I think it's for everyone, but he says this to remind us, maybe of our position, to remind us maybe of what he expects. But he says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Now, I think he's talking about you and I that have already taken part, and you and I that have already partook of salvation, that we were partakers of the heavenly calling. He says this, the next word, he says, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." He says, I want you to consider. I was telling my class downstairs, as we kind of start summing things up, when I thought of the word "consider," I looked it up in several different dictionaries, including I Googled the Oxford Dictionary. Hallelujah. And it said this. For the word "consider," it said to think carefully about, especially in order to make a decision. To think carefully about, especially in order to make a decision. And I just want to add to the Oxford Dictionary, that'd be okay. Now, I would never add to the Word of God, but I'll add to the dictionary. Hallelujah. I believe when it says to think carefully about, especially in order to make the right decision. I think you ought to look carefully. When the Bible says consider, I believe it's talking about thinking carefully about something in order that we make the right decision. Bless God, a lot of people that I've talked to have made the wrong decision about Jesus. And they've denied him, or they've ignored him, and they've rejected him. Can I say, that's the wrong decision. They've not considered the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And I thought about this word consider. It means to think carefully about, especially in order to make the right decision. It also means to regard as, or to deem to be. It also means this, to pay attention to view attentively, to scrutinize. These last several days, I've had the joy of having John Ashcliffe all to myself. I could ask him a question, and I could get an answer. I'd ask a question I asked 2 or 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 months ago, and now I've got him all to myself, and I'm sorry you're missing out, but I've learned a lot of stuff. Now, I hate to say this because I'm old and stupid, and I didn't bring my tablet with me each time. I've forgotten some of what he said. Because it's Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse. I'm going, dude, slow down. And I've learned, listen, because he, with scrutiny, he has paid attention. He has considered my questions. He has considered and he's attentive and careful to give me the right answer. To the best of his ability. And I believe if you and I are going to be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be, and he says this, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. He said, I want you to consider the apostle. Now, Brother Ashcliffe, in the midst of thinking about this, as I thought about an apostle, please, if I do this definition harm, help me, if you don't mind. But an apostle is a delegate. He's a messenger sent with orders. He's an ambassador of the gospel. Would I be okay to say that? Now, I understand that the apostles, they had to see Jesus. There were some qualifications. I understand all that. But here, he's the apostle and the high priest of our profession. He's not talking about some man. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about God calls him Christ Jesus. He's the apostle. He's the ambassador. Can I say, he's the high priest. There's nobody above this guy. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. He's the anointed Messiah Savior. God wants us to understand. But he says this. He says consider. He says think carefully about, especially in order that you make the right decision. He says there better be a regard. There needs to be attention paid. There needs to be, listen, the word consider means this in the Oxford Dictionary, to regard with respect, thoughtfulness, honor, and esteem if due. To regard with thoughtfulness, respect, honor, and esteem. And I picked on Sam, and I asked Sam, I said, I know your rank is higher than PFC, you've been in it a while. And I said, who's your base commander? And he made the statement, his base commander was just a lowly captain And I have a few friends of mine that are majors. And I met a couple months ago, I met my second or third or fourth two-star general down south while I was down there preaching. And I know a bunch of preachers, and my dad told me a story one day when I was growing up as a boy. My dad was in the Navy, and I always thought that my dad went to Korea. My dad, I asked my dad, and I said, and I've told the story, you know, my dad went to Korea and he came back, you know, he didn't fight. He was a Navy corpsman attached to the 6th Marine Fleet, but he never fought, and he was never in battle because it ended before he got there. But come to find out, I asked him about 6 months ago, when I was talking to him on the phone. I said, "Dad, did you go to Korea?" He said, "I was on the boat. We were headed out. We were halfway into the ocean." He said, "And it was over." He said, "They spun the ship around." And nothing. He didn't call it a boat. He called it a ship because he was in the Navy. I know y'all are touching. He said, "They spun the ship around and they brought it back to dock. But they did not let us go home." He says, "They sent me and the other medics that were on the boat or on the ship." He says, "They sent us to naval hospitals. They assigned us to naval hospitals." He said, "And we helped mop up and bring folks in that were sick and tore up and shot up." And then he said this. I asked him, I said, "Dad, who was your commanding officer?" And he said it was Admiral, and he told me his name, and for the life of me, I didn't write it down. I couldn't remember. And I said, "Did you ever meet him?" He said, "One time. One time." He said, when I graduated from the Naval Academy or from the School of Medicine or the Corpsman School, when I graduated from Corpsman School, he said, the Admiral was there to give us our citation. The Admiral over the base there in Norfolk, Virginia, he was there. And he gave me my citation. He said, we were all dressed in our, you know, our white and our, you know, our dress uniform. He said, we're all waiting for the Admiral. We're just, you know, he said, we're all just messing around. All of us, bunch of sailors, the whole graduating class was there and they're messing around. And they're in the back room. And the Admiral walks in. He said, "Son, when we saw the Admiral, when he crested the door, and there he is in his Admiral dress uniform, he said, everybody jumped to attention. I mean, to the best salute we had." He said, "Boy, I was holding my breath. I had it all sucked in." He said, "And we stood there." He said, "And the Admiral just slowly just walked in." He said he went from one end to the other. He said he walked to about the middle of the room. He said there were 50, 60, 100 of us all standing there at attention. We weren't moving. He said there wasn't a, we weren't budging. He said he walked to the middle of the room and he just saluted us. He said we returned salute and stayed at attention, and he sat at ease. And he said, for the next 10 minutes, he says, while we were in an at-ease position, he said, he just buddied with us like we were his best friends in the world. And I went, that's a cool story. I said, "Did you ever go out and do heathen things with the Admiral?" He said, "No." He said, "The Admiral, that was the only time I ever met him. The only time I ever did anything with him." I said, "Why did you jump to attention?" He said, "Son, his rank, his standing in the United States military means something." You know what Dad said? Dad said when he walked in, we all knew it was the Admiral, and we considered immediately our next move. He said we didn't have to think about it very long. He said it was immediate. We didn't. We knew what we had to do because he's our commanding officer. And what my dad was saying was, he said, there was a consideration in the military. Can I tell you something? I have met military men. I have met in all the branches of the service. I have met several of the fire department and several of the police officers that were at 9/11. I have met them. I've talked with them. I've seen the look in their eye. And none of them are the same. I mean, they've lost friends. They've lost. And can I say, when you look, when I look at a military man, I look at the... God wants us to understand the word consider. Listen, it means to think carefully about, especially in order to make the right decision, to pay attention to regard with respect and thoughtfulness and honor, to esteem. Listen, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And when my dad sees a military man, he doesn't just see all the stripes. He knows what they all mean. He doesn't just see a military man. He sees, and in his consideration, in his thoughtfulness, he sees all that's taken place and transpired in that man's life. Can I tell you something? When you look at the flag, it's more than just a piece of cloth with 13 stripes and 50 stars. It's more than just a red, white, and blue beautiful ornament. And by the way, it is the most beautiful flag of all of them. I think it's the most beautiful. But can I say, when you look at the flag, do you see just a flag? Not if you consider it well. Not if you consider it. You see, when you look at the flag, God wants you to look at, God wants you to consider and look and think about all that it is and all that it stands for and all that it took to still be here. When you consider something, that means you're going to scrutinize it. You're going to pay attention to it. You're going to think carefully about it. You are going to regard it with thoughtfulness and honor and esteem if it's due. Think about the lives, the blood that was shed, the sacrifices that were made for you and I to have a free country. Freedom is not free. I think about the cost of freedom. That has literally, there's been millions of people that have given their lives for the cause of freedom in America. May I just say this? When you look at and you handle your Bible, do you just see a pretty little leather thing with some fancy words in it? Or is it more than that? When you think about the Word of God, when you consider what it is, it's not just a book. As I've studied history, somewhere between 50 and 100 million Bible believers have given their lives to hide and preserve and pass down to you and I the Word of God. And we need to, when I look at the Word of God, every morning, preacher, when I open my Bible, and every morning when I read it, and every morning when I hold it in my hand, every day when I walk around with it, it's not just another book. Something that I've considered. I think about all the men and women, the stories that I've read of torture and people that have been lit on fire and were candles, Christian people, that have given their lives so that they didn't destroy the only copy of the Word of God and maybe in an entire area. Because I've considered, listen, have you considered carefully so that you make the right decision? Have you paid attention to, do you regard this idea of considering, do you regard with a respect and a thoughtfulness and an honor and an esteem? Do you view it attentively? to scrutinize, and can I say your pastor scrutinizes the Word of God. God makes this statement in Hebrews 3:1, and I'll quit here in a few minutes. Maybe. As I thought about what he said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And I'll be honest with you, I've got some Bible verses written down, and I feel like I'm going in 100 different directions, and I apologize. But he says this, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He says, I want you to consider. Can I tell you, when I read my Bible, and I told my class downstairs, I said about 20 years ago, I stopped reading my Bible for sermon. I stopped reading my Bible just so that I could have something to give to the next generation, or just so that I could have something to preach. I stopped reading my Bible doing that. I stopped reading my Bible trying to find answers to all my questions. When I read the Bible now, I simply am looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Him. I want to find Him in everything. I'm trying to see how He's thinking and what He's thinking and why He's thinking it. Listen, the reason I want to get close to the Asquith and I want to get close to Brother John is I want to know what he knows, and I want to know more about my Savior. I want to listen. I've considered Him. I look at the Word of God. I want to know what it says. I don't want to be the run-of-the-mill, average, nothing preacher that gets up and yells and screams and doesn't do anything. Makes no difference. I want to know what the Word of God says. By the way, I don't have all the answers. Neither does Brother Asquith. We're not even sure of all the questions, but we're still asking them. Amen. So that we can find the answer. Because, my friend, He is the answer. He's the answer to all of life's questions. Can I say tonight, we need to consider, we need to think carefully about, especially in order to make the right decision. I have spoken to many people that have looked at me and said, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I don't want nothing to do with salvation. I don't want nothing to do with that book you have in your lap that you think is the Word of God. I had a guy that did my electric, and I ran him out of the house. He's my son's close friend. My son's been trying to win him to Christ, but he's my son's close friend, and I just told him, I said, you know, it's probably time for you to leave. I said, because you and I are going to end up in an argument. And I said, then you're going to burn my house down because you're not, because I'm going to say something. Here's what he said. We were talking about the Bible. We were talking about religion. And we were talking about our faith. He claims to be saved, and then he made it. Anybody that believes in Jesus Christ is a fool and an idiot. Sam, I put my hand in my pocket. I wanted to punch him in the mouth. I'm telling you, it took all I could. My son looked at me, and he saw the red. And the guy looked at me and he said, did I say something wrong? I said, yes, you did. You're an idiot. I said, anybody that reads the Bible and says they've read the Bible, studied the Bible, and doesn't believe in Jesus, I said, you've not made the right consideration. I said, you're absolutely, positively wrong. And I said, you probably ought to stop working on my wires. I said, I'll find somebody that can do what you can do that won't say that. I waited a few weeks. And then I called my buddy and I said, how do you wire this? I'll do it my stinking self. So if it burns down, it's my fault. Only got shot twice. And every time I got shot, I said, Lord, you know why I threw him out. I said, I sure like to have him back. I mean, this guy's a world-class electrician. I said, but I'd rather not have him anywhere in my eyesight or earshot. I'm sorry. I wanted to hit him. I mean, I'm so, I immediately, I didn't even think about it. I just immediately went to the flesh. I didn't mean to, but I did. He just, I mean, he torqued my screw. fixing to break his. I was just upset. You know what? Here's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid we're so mild-mannered that we let anybody say anything. Well, bless God, we just have to live with. No, bro, somebody's at my house. You just made me upset. I'm sorry. And maybe it's the Italian in me. Maybe it's just because of who I am. I don't know. But he just ticked me off. I threw him out, and he was packing up his stuff. My son said, my son went to the bathroom. My son come out, and he went out and talked to him. And the guy told my son, he says, man, your dad actually believes that. He said, I ain't never met anybody like your dad. He said, you won't. He said, but there's a lot of them. He said, but my dad don't put up with any junk. Now, I'm hoping to win into the Lord one of these days. But not today or tomorrow. But listen, I'll give him grace. But to come to my house and to say that? You say, why are you upset? Because I've considered the apostle and high priest of my profession. I've thought about it. Can I read you something? Take the Bible and go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'll let you out of here eventually. I wasn't going to preach some of the things I have written down here, but I just don't think I'm supposed to. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, as I've studied this and as I've looked over this, God is rehearsing to the children of Israel why he did some of the things he did when they came out, and why they had to go in the wilderness 40 years, and why he fed them with manna. And he makes a bunch of different statements. In chapter 4, verse 6, he says this, keep therefore and do them, talking about the word of God, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 9, he says this, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And he talks all about what we ought to do, and he said, I took you and I care for you. Look at verse 35. Verse 35 is where I want to get to. I'm looking at the clock and I'm running out of time, but it says this, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. God said, I did all of this, everything. He said, you have had the opportunity to see all of my power. They saw the pillar of fire by day, or fire by day, or fire by night, and cloud by day. They said, we call it the Shekinah glory. You call it what you want. They just saw the pillar. They saw the presence of God. They watched the miracles of God. And he says this, unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Out of the heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven. I said, God, I want to see this.
Amen.
There are some things I want God to replay. This is one of them. Notice what he says. He says, you've heard the word. You've heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Notice, look, and because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight and with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out from before thee greater and mightier nations than thou, to bring thee in, to give thee in their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore, and I says it again, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart. He said, I want you to think carefully about it, especially so you make the right decision. I want you to regard. I want you to pay attention. I want you to regard with respect and thoughtfulness and honor and esteem all that I've done.
Amen.
Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. In heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. I got a sermon in Isaiah chapter 45 when it talks about I am the Lord and there is none beside me. I stole a sermon from an old independent Baptist preacher down in the South called Ain't Nobody Like Him. Can I say, he said the same thing here. He says, I am the Lord. He says, consider this in thine heart that I'm Him and nobody else. I have spent my life trying to figure Him out. And I'll be honest with you, the deeper I get, the more confused I get sometimes. That's when I pick up the phone and say, Brother Ashford, I got to ask you a question. He said, Brother, you might as well just come over here because it's going to take me a while to teach you that. We spent the better part of about 3 or 4 hours yesterday back and forth. And you know what I did? I sat there and listened and learned. But I've listened. God says, consider. He says, consider it in thine heart. He says, in the depths of who you are, you better know. We talked about the heart yesterday, and the soul, and the spirit, and the mind, and I got a couple of them confused, even to this moment. But can I tell you something? He says, consider this in thine heart. Let me read it again. Know therefore this day. God says, know therefore, when? This day. And consider it in thine heart. That the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. When He says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. I believe He wants us to this day in our heart. Every day, this day, present tense, now, He wants us to be a person that considers Him.
Good.
Tomorrow you come back for chapel, we'll talk about who He is and what He is. Maybe, unless God changes everything again. I got it all. Listen, I had it, and God said, put that away, dummy. You better tell Him what I say. Can I just say tonight? I don't have what other men have. And some of it I don't want. Hallelujah. But you know what I want? I want to, on an everyday basis, be mindful to consider, to think carefully about, so that I make the right decision. There are some of you tonight, you know more Bible than I do. There are some of you in this room. I'll be honest with you. I told the pastor. I told my class downstairs. This is the first time when I taught a little bit. And I was scattered. I was all over the place. These guys are going to tell their dad, dude, don't have him back with you. You know why? I was more freaking nervous than I've ever been. For this, some of you folks in this room, you've got some deeper understanding about certain passages of Scripture than I do. And it made me a little nervous. And I don't get nervous. It's a rare thing for me to get nervous. But I was shook. I went downstairs. I was praying the whole time. I'm thinking, I told that she, the lady was singing at 6 o'clock. I'm thinking, man, glory to God, just keep singing until about 7 o'clock. I'll give him 3 thoughts and we'll go eat some cookies. Then I got down there and I just started delving into the word of consider. And can I say, I'm only scratching the surface. The word consider is consider, considereth, considered, considering. It's used 93 or 97 times in your King James Bible. And I have written them all out, and I have looked at them all. Man, I'm just going through these things, and they're just... But God wants us to... He says this, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to dwell on it. He wants us to hold him in high regard. And I'll be honest, there have been times that I've not considered who he is in my decision making. And I've always made the wrong decisions. Or I've always made decisions that have hurt him and hurt me and hurt my family and hurt my ministry. And by the way, when you sin and when you mess up, you always hurt more than somebody than you. You always hurt others. Amen. Hey, when Jonah was on the boat heading the wrong direction, was Jonah, right? That's why, yeah, he was heading the wrong direction. He was headed away from God. When God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah got on a boat, he's heading opposite direction. When they tossed him out, they had already tossed everything else out. They were in trouble. It caused everybody around him a lot of grief. Because Jonah didn't consider his actions. He didn't consider what God said. He just said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I ain't going to do what God says. And the Bible says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You better understand, if you don't take into account and think carefully about and to make the right decision, you make the wrong one because you've not considered who Christ is and what Christ wants and what Christ expects. Do you understand? God expects some things of you and I. He just doesn't expect you and I, after we get saved, to live any way we want to live. He expects us to know him and live for him and want to be close to him. Salvation is not a ticket out of hell. All those people that got a ticket out of hell might not have got a ticket out of hell. I know a lot of people that say, bless God, the moment they get saved, you never see them again. You can't find them with the FBI. That ain't what I got. You say, well, I don't believe you're right. Prove me wrong. You ain't got any Bible, and I got a Bible, and a little bit of understanding, and John Asquith, who does know it. And I, listen, if I can't figure out the answer, I call people. You know why? Because I want to make sure I make the right consideration. I don't want to mess up. I pray and spend time begging God. Why? Because I'm trying to consider. I'm trying to be thoughtful and aggressive and scrutinize the Word of God and scrutinize what it says. Why? So I want to make sure I don't miss him. Because I've missed him in the past. And it ain't been pretty. My question to you is this. Have you considered the apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus? Have you, with real thought, aggressively, thoughtfully, with regard and respect and honor, looked at Jesus and looked at your life and said, you're not in my life, I need you? Maybe it's salvation you need. Maybe it's an old trip to an old-fashioned altar where you get alone with God somewhere. You say, God, I've made a lot of mistakes. If you're saved, listen, we're going to make mistakes. But you'll make mistake after mistake after mistake if you don't consider Jesus Christ. We've got to think about it. We've got to dwell on it. He ought to fill our thoughts. Not be an afterthought. Oh, maybe I ought to look at the Bible, see what it says, now that I've screwed up everything. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm preaching to me. There have been many times I've prayed, but I've never really considered. I've prayed. The only person I was considering is, I want my way. I didn't consider what he wanted. I never considered his will and his wants and his wishes. I never considered what he thought and how he felt. I never considered what he went through. All I was worried about is what I'm doing. No consideration for the Savior of all the world. You see, when I look at the flag, I can consider and I know what it stands for. I've got family and friends that have given their lives. I mean, I've got friends that I've buried, that I've done their funerals, that have given their lives for the cause of freedom. I look at the Word of God and I handle the Word of God and I hold the Word of God and I read the Word of God and I own many copies of the Word of God, and I understand, not as deeply as I wish I did, all that it's cost. I think it was John Quincy Adams made the statement about our nation. He said, posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you'll make good use of it. I don't know about you. I just want to do what God wants, but I think we need to be people that consider Christ. Preacher, you come on.
I'm going to lose the talk again at 10 o'clock in the morning. Since the class down there tomorrow.